we do not get everything right when we do the first time, or maybe even the second time. So I want to put that out there, because I think one of the challenges that I would put out to other people that do special ed is, you know, don't wait till you think you're going to get it right perfectly, because kids aren't getting that service, right? It's a little messy. It's spilled milk. We got to break eggs to make bread.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Dr. Patrick Gaffney. And Patrick is the Director of Special Education and Health Services at Clayton Valley Charter High School in Concord, California. Patrick, it is beautiful to have you here today.
Well, thank you, Janet. Glad to be here.
So tell us some of the things. I mean, you and I have talked a little bit before, but I'd love for you to tell our listeners the amazing things that are happening at your school.
Yeah, happy to do it. I think per our, you know, last conversation kind of on the phone, we talked a little bit about our continuum of services. And I think that is one of the things that as a charter school, we've really been trying to focus in on. You know, I think sometimes we talk a lot about services for students, and, you know, at least here in the Bay Area of California, it often feels like when I get transfer students and when I get incoming freshmen, we're only a high school district. So we only serve students 9 through 12 as a charter district. We get a lot of stuff where it's kind of like, you know, they have what out here they call academic success, or kind of like a single class where they get a lot of homework help and not a lot else. And, you know, our perspective has been, you know, in education, you talk about, you know, all the different acronyms and stuff like that. And, you know, when you think about IDEA, right, the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, sometimes it often feels like a lot of places are kind of forgetting that I, right? Here's
yeah.
the Disability
oh,
Education
yeah.
Act.
Uh-huh.
But are we really individualizing the services that we provide students? And, you know, I know that at least in California, that's where I spend most of my time, so I can't talk about some of the national dynamics that might be going on in charter schools. But in the California realm, you know, we do get a little bit of pushback. There's a, you know, around, are we providing services and supports, and are we being exclusionary and things like that? And mm-hmm. I would have to say, you know, I've kind of taken that a little bit of as like an angst to heart. And so at Clayton, we really focus in, I think, a lot more on the I. And so as a single site charter school, 2,400 students, you know, we really try to embrace that individualized piece. So, you know, our continuum of services, you know, we really are focused in on providing what students need within the least restrictive environment. I know there's a lot of conversations, again, in our neck of the woods about, you know, inclusion. But what we're seeing is that is not maybe always in the best interest of the students' needs. So, you know, we offer for a charter school environment, you know, a full extensive needs program for students that are kind of at the academic level around kindergarten through third grade, but they are in 9th through 12th grade. We have a very robust special day program for students that are probably at that upper elementary, very low middle school. Ability, whether they're ID or their specific learning disability or such as significantly impacting their ability to access. We were able to work with our charter authorizer for a small set of population, because our school is what we call A through G, which is a function of the California university system. So your Berkeley's, your Irvine's, alma maters, UCLA, and things like that. They have a set of graduation expectations. So a lot of school districts have a graduation set, and then the University of California says to be eligible to apply, you have to have these additional sets, foreign language, extra math, science. as a graduation set, has set that the bar for every student. But we are cognizant of the individualized case study that mm-hmm. we may have some students that are able to meet the state bar for high school graduation requirements. So our state has set certain graduations and certain grade equivalents and expectations using the Common Core state standards as measured by the Smarter Balanced assessment materials. And so, you know, we walk that fine line. So we offer specialized high school grade level academic classes in a smaller setting. So the mm-hmm. students are accessing the curriculum, they're accessing a high school diploma, but they're taught by education specialists. So the scaffolding and the accommodations and the, you know, the larger UDL services, if you can see in the general ed setting, are available. One of the things that you and I had talked about, which we're really, really pushing in the last few years, is our co-teaching model. So we initially started out, you know, focusing on math and English, of course. Those are kind of two big areas, especially the mathematics. You know, and I definitely want your listeners to know we do not get everything right, and we do the first
Nobody
time
ever
or
does.
Maybe even
yeah.
the second time. So, you know, I want to put that out there because I think one of the challenges that I would put out to other people that do special ed is, you know, don't wait till you think you're going to get it right perfectly because kids aren't getting that service, right?
Right.
It's a little messy. It's spilled milk. We got to break eggs to make bread.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And I think that was one of the things. So I would say the first year we did co-teaching, one of our biggest errors was it was more like you were volunteer told you were going to be in a co-teaching assignment. And that crashed and burned, Janet.
Right,
that was
yeah.
not the best way to do it.
I hear you.
And so that first year, yeah, not where we wanted to be. So we reset the bar. We owned, you know, I took the gut punch, as I like to say.
Yeah.
Owned it, apologized to staff, you know, tried to be as transparent, reopened it up even after the mistakes we made, but put it more as like, hey, we're looking for people willing to volunteer.
Who want to do it, right?
Who want to get right. Mm-hmm. Like, you have a passion for this population or, you know, in the general ed setting, right? It's a little more like special ed teachers, it's kind of like within your wheelhouse that you're doing these services. But for the general ed, you know, you got to get that buy-in. So we volunteered.
Right.
We got people to sign up even after they'd heard some of the war stories. And then we started building relationships. That is key. And if you have special ed teachers and general ed teachers who already have previous relationships, that's even more awesome because they already know each other in the school setting. They may know each other outside the school setting. Hopefully their credentials align, right? If your best friend's a PE teacher, may not work best for the co-taught program, but you know,
maybe an APE teacher.
you know, so that was where we started moving, and then we started setting up some, I'll say, guidelines in the beginning. So we started setting up some structures, how many special ed kids in a class, what were some of the concepts. And so that first year, right? We went from bad to okay. And then we said, okay, well, what are some of the other things we need to do? Now we need to really start looking at how we organize our lessons, how we organize what it is going to look like. It did put some additional burdens around IEP meetings on our general ed staff.
Okay.
So as a charter school, at least here, a lot of our charters in California are non-unionized. But we are a conversion charter, which means the 13 years ago, the actual teachers in the district, 51%, pulled the trigger and requested to leave their district and become a charter school. So we're still sitting. That's why we're Clayton Valley Charter, because 13 years ago, it was just Clayton Valley High. Right. And they converted.
Okay.
So we're still in the same building, but we're a charter school. We're no longer affiliated with the district where this school
is housed. Oh, I see.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Our authorizer is the County Office of Education, but we are a union school.
Okay.
So it's a different things to navigate. But we said, you know what? These teachers are putting in some extra miles. We need to acknowledge that and support that. So I sat down with the union We negotiated some memorandums of understanding around the expectations of what the ed specialists would be doing, what the general ed what the general ed teachers would be doing. We negotiated stipends, specifically for general ed and special ed co-taught programming. And so that helped because it started, right? We wanted to acknowledge and reward.
Right.
We also had to set some guidelines and kind of, you know, I'll call them rails on the side of the road there to help promote our focus. So that really kind of helped solidify and acknowledge the work that was being done. The other thing we did for our math and English students is within the special education program, we created, so we have a study skills program and has set curriculum around things for executive functioning, things for reading literacy. So we do close reading, we provide direct instruction, we work closely with our instructional coach. So our ed specialists are doing a lot more looking like the general ed teacher within our settings. Which has been very, very beneficial. So the kids take a math class. I also build the master schedule for the school. So that kind of helps a little bit there.
Yeah. Okay.
We try to set up a class in the morning, set up the study skills class in the middle, set up the second class in the afternoon. And then we do, in addition to the study skills curriculum, there's now opportunities for pre-teach, reteach, concept building. Our special ed specialists are in the math class and in the English class with the same students. So the same students literally see the special education teacher 3 days, 3 periods in the day. So there's a lot of continuity, a lot of support. Our co-taught program is not capped as instructional minutes because they are in the general ed setting.
So, oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah, even though you have a special education teacher in there.
Correct. It's not required to count it as instructional minutes. Now, the study skills class is instructional minutes. But the other class, because 2/3 of the class is general ed, it's a general ed class, right? And so we do not want that in our instructional minutes because it is, you know, the teacher of record and the teacher of grade is the general ed teacher.
Okay.
So that really provides us a greater opportunity to support kids within the general ed setting. It allows them to continue to focus in on the A through G compliance for four-year college. It helps us do a significant amount of scaffolding and support structures within the classroom. And so I would say that's kind of like where we've been for year three. Year four, we're now, year four was last year. This is year five.
Okay.
Year four is now where we're really working with the instructional coach. So I built in common prep periods. So now the ed specialist, the math teacher, and the English teacher have the same period off in the master schedule.
Oh, okay. Nice.
We don't require them to meet every day, but we do ask them to meet once a week. And then they meet every other week in a meeting with the special ed, with the instructional coach, so we can continue to collaborate, refine practice. We're now getting to the point where we have several of them, and it's still a work in progress because we had to go through relationship building. And you know, one team has been there together 3 years. Sometimes I've got an English teacher and one person has been together for several years, but the math person's kind of changed, right?
So
you continue to refine that relationship because the relationship's critical.
Right.
The adult relationships, I would say, are the cornerstone for what you need to do. And unfortunately, we kind of put the stone in after we built some frames, but it's there. It's got good cement. Things are going to go. So now we're really getting into the lesson planning piece, the co-lesson planning piece. And we're starting to see that gel where the ed specialist can really bring in that kind of universal design learning, accommodation, support structures. And the general ed teacher is really bringing in that curriculum and core content. And they're really having the opportunity to create a cohesive lesson.
Nice.
And so that was where we were last year, so that's coming into play. And then last year as well, we had some opportunities, so we expanded outside of English and math, and we started teaching in social studies last year. We offered it in U.S. history and our government econ. This year, our senior class was a little bit smaller, so we now moved it to world history at the 10th grade level, co-taught, and the 11th grade U.S. history team is together again. And then this year, what we're really trying to work with, which is, critical to that relationship piece, is the vulnerability of the general ed teacher letting go a little bit of being the person that delivers the lesson and being more the small group center person in the back. And we're trying to help facilitate kind of the flipping of those roles a little bit. Not every day, but, students really see that partnership.
Yeah.
And we were able to offer for the first time a co-taught science course. And so our juniors have a co-taught astronomy course, which is the third year of science this year. So we're very excited about that. And we're starting to see some of that real kind of co-teaching going on, especially in our freshman team. They've been together 3 years. And our ed specialist, in addition to his Fed credential, actually has a master's degree in English and writing. And so him and the ninth grade English teacher have, after three, they're really jiving. They're real.
That's great.
Kind of symbiotic relationship. And so now it's really, that's kind of our model, and we're looking to continue to replicate that. So I would really say that's a super exciting program, because it really is putting in those supports. When we look at, equitability, it's not like, every single kid gets a box. This kid gets two, this kid gets one, this kid doesn't need, right? And we're really trying to facilitate that equity model to kids the least restrictive environment as possible. We're seeing that develop into fruition. So we're very excited about our co-teaching program. And we're starting to see, the academic results. We are students on the Smarter Balanced assessment here in California. We don't use the PARC, we use the Smarter Balanced. Our students have increased in ELA pass rates from 12% to 40%.
Nice.
Our math gains, school-wide math gains, are not as great as our English gains. Just going to be honest with you. I think it's kind of a California thing. But our math gains over the last 3 years now have all been positive. And the 3 years before that, we had scored zero. None of our kids passed the state test. And now we've had three positive years of growth where we've been increasing our pass rates. We're not up to the 40% yet, but we're seeing really good results. The co-teaching is really going well. We're also implementing some stuff in our study skills, not just the co-taught study skills, but our general study skills classes for kids that are not in our co-taught program. And we're starting to see fruition and traction with that. So we're super excited about that. And then, of course, for the students that don't need co-taught, they're in our ATG programs, we absolutely have very strong instructional assistance. So we have a pretty broad depth of programming. We have about 10 instructional assistants on campus. They push into all academic areas. I'd say probably our weakness is, of course, the foreign languages. I don't have any aides that speak French. I don't have any aides that do sign language. So we struggle a little bit there, right? Just to be honest
with
everybody.
Well, it's not like it's not a unicorn position or something. My goodness.
Right. But we've been able to take advantage of different folks. So I do have some bilingual instructional assistants that can push into our Spanish program. So we're very excited about that. That is continuing to help support, again, because of the master schedule piece that, most high schools deal with. When I oversee that, we're able to kind of target groups of, five, six IEP kids into a particular class, and then we can push in a para to support that. So that's been very exciting. And then 4 years ago, As a charter school, and I would say 90+% of charter schools, probably about 98% of charter schools in California, we would finish the students up. We're 18, those with certificate of completions and things like that. We would hold a meeting at the end of the fourth year, and we'd bring in the district of residence, and they'd talk about their 18 to 22-year-old programs. And we would transition the student back to their district of residence, and then they would go into the district of residence adult transition program. Because they didn't graduate with a diploma, they're entitled in California to be in special education until they're 22.
Right.
And that was practice and practice and practice. So then literally a little over four years ago, this is our fifth year, but 4 years ago, one of the families said, can we stay? And this was May, because we always do our exit IEPs at the end of the year. Our end of year is June, early June. And I was kind of like, well, let me think about that.
Yeah.
So I went to the executive director, and I think this is one of the things that at least I think a lot of schools probably, but Clayton Valley's executive director was very open. And he's like, if you want to try it, go. And I said, okay, well, why not? Right. Talk to our SELPA. And there's like, there's not really any charter schools doing this. You're kind of out there on your own. And so I said, okay, well, I went back to the family. We had a follow-up IEP meeting. And I said, okay, we're happy to start one. But, you know, the old metaphor that we're going to build the plane is it's flying.
Yes, right? It's flying.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm like, we don't have a runway.
Right.
We don't have a hangar. I'm not even sure I got enough parts to call it a plane.
Right.
But
right.
If you want to be on the ride, we'll take it. So the first year, the kids literally sat in the back of the room he graduated from. And I was able to get I was able to work with a para to kind of do a little bit of special, but I told the parents, your 13th year is literally going to look like your 12th grade year, right? I got nothing. And you gave me like 3 weeks to try to build something. And yeah, that's what we want. We'd prefer to stay with you guys. They feel so safe in the community and da 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 da.
One thing I often hear from school leaders is I just want a partner who puts students first. At Lighthouse Therapy, that's exactly what we do. We don't have outside investors, and we don't answer to shareholders. Instead, we answer to school leaders like you, those listening to this podcast. Whether you're wanting virtual, hybrid, or in-person therapy, our systems are designed to make your life easier and your team stronger. We are a therapy company run by therapists for therapists for the betterment of students. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to learn how we can help you support your students this year.
So we said, okay. And then, you know, build a little partition. And then another kid said, hey, can I take advantage of this? And they actually came back to the school. So we started with two kids in the back of the classroom.
Oh, wow. You had one you transitioned out and they came back. Oh,
yeah.
Very nice. Okay.
Well,
guys are doing something right.
Well, yeah. Well, then the second year, I worked with HR and the union, and we created a position called job coach, and we got that flown. And we had a job coach the second year. Still no teacher. They sat in the back of the classroom, and we were up to three, right?
Okay.
And we worked it, and we started kind of building this out because there was really nobody to talk to in the charter world. And then, because we left the local district 13 years ago, amazingly, there's still some people there that are not, super friendly.
That's
because
sad.
They, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were kind of building it, and we started getting volunteer placements, and we, you know, and they're like, hey, well, how do you do this Department of Rehabilitation? That's what we call it in California for adults with disabilities. And we're like, oh, this is new. Let's try to figure this program out so they can start being paid by the state for some of their volunteer placements to learn job skills. So we started doing that in year two. Then I started working with the director and administration, and we found a facility on campus that we could use. So we gutted it and we repainted it. And then in the third year, I was able to get us up to about five kids. The district, the school board and our executive director is great. They said, yeah, we're going to hire a teacher for a class of five. And so we were able to find, an adult ed teacher. We still had the job coach. We got them into their own place. And then at the time, One of our students was orthopedically handicapped, so we needed a wheelchair. I went and made a proposal to the school board, who's been very supportive. They agreed, so we went out and bought our wheelchair van. Not the easiest thing because none of our teachers are commercial driver's licensed, so we had to find a bus that could do wheelchairs, but is small enough to be under a Class C license here in California. And California's got wacky rules, so there's not many. Most of the states have 14 passengers without having a commercial driver's license, but apparently California and Jersey have this 10 passenger rule.
It
was tough to find a bus, but we found a bus. We got it. We're now able to take our kids out in the community, in addition to walking trips and, of course, public transportation, which has expanded their horizon because we can take of many more of the things that is available in the Bay Area. The other thing is now, last year, we were able to start building some relationships because we kind of took the district level right out of the way. Mm-hmm. In our department, we started working with other school districts, transition kids like our kids. We started having relationships. I got our school to agree to, and we started holding Special Olympics on the school site campus. We started bringing in gen ed kids as sponsors and referees, and you know, and so it's been a very positive experience there. And last year we were able to graduate that kid at 22 from our program, whose family asked, can we stay? And they completed their 4 years. They transitioned. We had him completely set up and ready to go with the Department of Rehabilitation. We made sure that the family had all the connections with what we call the regional center system here in California, which is also a county-based, regional-based, because some of our rural counties combine in California to have special ed support services. And so, yeah, this is our fifth year. We now actually have a wait list because in California, the moderate severe, which is the credential required, only allows 11 on your credential.
Okay.
And our capacity for the classroom, depending on the student. So if I have extra age or I have a wheelchair, it can fluctuate a bit.
Okay, right.
Charter, the enrollment number is based on capacity. But we are at current capacity. We have some students that have come from other districts. We have built a relationship where now other charters are looking at this model. We actually have a relationship where we entered into an agreement with another charter and they purchased a seat for one of their kids because they didn't have a program, which is charter schools buying seats within each other for specialized programs. Doesn't really happen a lot, at least based on the feedback that I've gotten from the charter itself here in California. So we're really trying to do a lot, and this will be our second year where we're hopefully holding us to graduation, and we continue to build our relationships. Our kids are going into elementary schools and things like that. So it's pretty extensive. And now we're able to help kids from, you know, kind of the lowest academic level as a freshman to try to take them to be as successful as a 22-year-old as we can. And we're really bridging those continuum of supports because we truly try to be as individualized as we can. They're not Baskin Robbins. There's not 31 flavors here.
No, I get it.
I mean, I do have to sometimes, you know, be like every other school district. And if there's something I can't do, I do, you know, have to put a student in, say, like a non-public school or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
to the greatest extent possible, we really do try to provide that continuum of service and really focus in on the big I of IDEA as a school here at Clinton Valley.
And that's it. That's exactly it. I love through everything that you've said. You put the kids first. You find a need, a child's need, and you have created programs. And it's amazing, absolutely amazing. So, Patrick, where do people go to talk to you about the amazing? I mean, I'm just so impressed. Where do they go to find you and to find what's happening at Clayton Valley and these amazing programs?
Oh, well, easy. I mean, probably the easiest piece, especially if you're not local and can just, you know, reach out. ClaytonValley.org is our website. And from there, you can definitely go on the website and find my name. I'm happy to take emails. It's pretty simple, right? We all use the world of Google.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's patrick.gaffney@claytonvalley.org is the email. And, you know, if there's somebody out there that has questions or is interested in connecting or, you know, has special ed questions or program questions, be happy to just conversate and stuff like that. But, you know, the biggest message I think, Janet, that I can leave is, you know, take the risk, spill the milk, break the eggs, and focus on that big I in IDEA. I think that's the most important. And the kids win. Families are pretty happy. I won't say I have a 100% happiness record, right? You know,
but you're trying, but you're always trying. Right, and I love that.
That is the nature of, you know, I think that's a little bit of the nature of special ed. You can't be everything for everybody. But I think that overall we have a very supportive school, and I think the community is hearing what we're doing, and I think they're appreciative.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Awesome. Well, Patrick, one last question.
Yeah.
And this is a question I try to ask everybody, but if you could just fix one thing in your world in special education, what would it be? Just one thing. You don't have to deal with it anymore. What would that one thing be?
I'm going to say communication.
Okay.
The extreme amount of lack of information or misinformation when it comes to special education is probably huge. There are, I mean, even on, I think, the school side, so many people don't have all the information. Parents lack a lot of information. They don't know where to get the information, right? And I think that lack of information, you know, creates fear. It creates anxiety. And when you have fear and anxiety, then you get angry, right? That's why, you know, I think in the world of special ed, it can't ever make 100% of people happy, because they don't necessarily always have all the information at their disposal. And we got so darn many acronyms and catchphrases and educational babble and special education babble. They don't even understand it if they've read it.
Right.
And trust me, I got people with bachelor's degrees and master's degrees, and there's just so much minutia that it's hard to navigate.
Right.
And I would say, for me, if you could fix that communication understanding piece, that would really go a long way.
Boy, that would make a huge difference for the kids, for the parents.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different complaints they can file, right?
So exactly. Just a decrease in the number of complaints, right? Because then they understand what they're doing. And there's a piece of that for special education too. Part of the reason I think that you can't please everybody is they're dealing with a dash to their expectations because their child isn't who they thought they were going to be, you know, and that piece of, now I'm still dealing with the fact that my child still needs special education. And I'm not trying to bash parents. Please, oh, please don't think that I am, because parents love their kids. Everybody, you know, we're all here for the kids, but there's that piece of it too. So, you know, and people want their kids to be, parents want their kids to be better. They want, you know, they have high expectations, and sometimes those expectations are hard to meet. So, yeah, but you're doing it. You're looking at an individualized education plan, and that's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. Yeah. So, Patrick, thank you for your time. Thank you for your explanation on all of the amazing things that you're doing. It was truly inspiring to hear all the things that you've done, and I appreciate you sharing it with our audience, because, you know, people need to hear the passion of people like you that really care about the kids that they serve.
Well, thank you, Janet. And I'm happy to be here. And like I said, you know, if any of you listeners ever wanted to reach out, I'm happy to respond to an email and see what I can do.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you again. Have a great school year.
Thank you. And you, best of luck on the rest of your podcasts, and wish you and Lighthouse Therapy continued success.
Thanks.